Again, it's good to be here. It's good to come together and worship our Lord and Savior on another gorgeous day of life. I'm glad everyone can be here. We have two out sick. Hopefully they'll be back next week. Last week, you may remember, we talked about denominationalism and how that most in the denominational religions call themselves Christians. So this morning, I want to follow up by telling you how to become a Christian. And I want to direct most of the lesson this morning to our non-Christian friends. I've heard it asked, why aren't we baptizing more people? Good question. Maybe it's the fault of the preacher. Maybe we don't explain to people exactly what it is they must do to be saved. I've been charged as an evangelist by the Apostle Paul to preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. 2 Timothy 4:2. Paul also instructs me in 1 Timothy 4:16 to take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. So I need to be especially careful what I teach and preach. So if I've been remiss in my duties as a preacher to preach unto you the conditions of salvation, please listen very closely this morning, and I will let the Holy Scriptures guide us as we learn how to become a Christian. It's very important that you open your Bibles and follow along with me. As always, I don't want you to take my word, only the Word of God, on this all-important subject. And I hope and pray at the end of this lesson you'll understand what you need to do to become a Christian and take the necessary steps to submit to the will of God. After his death, burial, and resurrection, and before his ascension, Jesus gave the apostles the Great Commission. The Great Commission was given on the day Jesus ascended to heaven. It is called the Great Commission because it committed the apostles what they had not before ever received, which was the authority to preach the gospel and to publish the conditions of salvation. The Great Commission is as follows. Please come with me to Matthew, the 28th chapter. We'll be going to a lot of passages this morning, brethren. Matthew 28. Verse 19 and 20. Jesus is speaking here and he says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. So Matthew records the command to teach and to baptize. Now look with me at Mark, the 16th chapter. Again, Jesus is speaking in verse 15 and 16. He says, go ye in all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Mark records a command to teach and to baptize. Let's look together at one other passage, Luke 24. Luke 24, verses 46 and 47. Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Now Luke puts down repentance and remission of sins in Jesus' name. Please understand, though, that the originator of the Great Commission is God. The authority is Christ. The scope is all nations or the entire world. And the duration is forever and ever. And the promise is salvation. Brethren, that is the Great Commission in a nutshell. Up to this time, Jesus had forbidden them to even tell any man that he was the Christ. Matthew 16:20 says, then he charged his disciples they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. But now, their lips were unsealed. with only one limitation, namely, they are to wait in Jerusalem until they are clothed with the power from on high. Luke 24:49. According to the New Testament pattern, all who belong to Christ have a part in carrying out the Great Commission of Christ as given to the apostles, which is to teach, baptize, and teach. Jesus said the gospel was to be preached to the whole creation. The apostles and prophets laid the foundation, leaving the complete revelation of Christ in the New Testament. Evangelists preached the gospel to the world and continued to teach and build up the converts, overseeing the churches until they were able to appoint elders to lead them. The elders were to were teachers who led the saints onto maturity, shepherding and instructing them. There was also teachers who assisted in the teaching. Parents were instructed to train their children in the way of the Lord, which involved daily teaching. Each member of the body contributed his part of the growth to the whole body of Christ. Every member of the body had a function to perform, which contributed to the evangelizing of the world in that generation. Now the Lord's church has been given the greatest task in the world. It has been charged with the awesome duty of preaching the gospel to all mankind. The design of that message is to turn people from darkness to light, to rescue the perishing. Please look with me at Acts 20, if you would, in verse 28. Acts chapter 20. Verse 28. Paul says, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers, to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood." Jesus purchased his church, the church of Christ, with his own blood. Now, doesn't that make sense? Paul was not talking about the Catholic Church, which was established 600 years later by mere men. Paul is not talking about the Baptists or the Methodists or the Lutherans or the Episcopalians or the Presbyterians and Mormons, the Adventists, the Christian Scientists, Jehovah's Witnesses, so on. He's not talking about them. Why? Because these Protestant denominations were established at least 1,500 years later by man, not Jesus Christ. Jesus did not shed one drop of blood for any of these denominations. When you become a member of this blood-bought body, you are called a Christian. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch, Acts 11:26. The question before us this morning is how to become a Christian. In the book of Acts, the apostles went to work under this great worldwide and age-lasting commission. They began in Jerusalem. They went. They preached the gospel. People heard the gospel, believed it, repented, confessed their faith in Jesus as the Son of God, and were baptized. Hence they were saved from past sins, added to the church by Christ, and therefore became Christians. In considering the subject of becoming a Christian, which is equivalent to being saved from past sins, we should keep in mind that pardon takes place in heaven, in the mind of God. Now we know a prisoner may hope to be pardoned, but that pardon does not take place in his mind. He must be pardoned by the Board of Pardons, or the governor, or whoever has the authority. Furthermore, the information that a prisoner has been pardoned must be conveyed to him in a way which he can understand. He cannot depend merely on his feelings. An alien may become a naturalized citizen of the United States of America, but in so doing, he must comply with the regulations set down by those in authority. An alien cannot become a citizen merely through prayer of his own goodness. After he has met every requirement, he still has nothing whereof to glory save in the grace and goodness of the United States of America. Nevertheless, he must meet the requirements. A sinner cannot become a Christian merely through prayer or his own goodness. Neither can he become a Christian by faith only, not any more so than an alien can become a citizen through just believing in the president. Sinners must comply with the rules and regulations laid down by the Savior. Salvation is possible because of the grace of God and the blood of Jesus. Nevertheless, the sinner must meet the requirements. Look with me at Matthew, the 7th chapter. Matthew chapter 7. Understand, brethren, Jesus has not, and I repeat, He has not promised to save sinners unconditionally. They must meet His conditions or they remain lost. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew 7:21? Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father who is in heaven. Not by faith only, but by obedience. By obedience. The book of Acts serves as an inspired commentary on the new birth. Each conversion is an example of how to be born again. The Lord has made the plan of salvation plain not only in words but also by giving concrete examples of just how to be saved. Isn't that wonderful that He loved us that much? If what they did made them Christians, then it will make us Christians today if we will do the same thing. So let's all turn our Bibles to the book of Acts, where the first example is found in the second chapter, Acts chapter 2. Now Peter preaches the gospel to a great audience. He preaches the life, the death, and the resurrection, the ascension, and the exaltation of Christ at God's right hand. Then he brings this beautiful, wonderful sermon to a climax in Acts 2, verses 36 through 38. Let's read it together. He says, "Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and they said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Verse 38, Then Peter said unto them, Repent, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Notice now, Peter told them to do two things. He said, Repent, and be baptized. If he had said nothing further, they would have known that both commands were essential. However, the Spirit through the mouth of Peter made their duty more explicit by stating the reason for such obedience. He said, Repent for the remission of sins. Be baptized for the remission of sins. Both commands were for the same purpose. Both were essential to salvation from sin, and the people understood that both were necessary. Now look at verse 41. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. No, my friends, baptism is not an outward sign of an inward grace. Neither is it for an example, nor is it just to get into the church. Let us believe what the Bible says, and not what men say. Repentance and baptism both are for the remission of sins. Repentance is a change of mind produced by godly sorrow that leads to a change of life. Although faith is not mentioned, it's evident from their question, Peter's reply, and their obedience that they believed. Now turn over to Acts 8. Let's look at the Samaritans. Acts 8. Now when the church in Jerusalem was scattered because of the great persecution, verse 5 tells us, Philip went down to the city of Samaria and proclaimed unto them the Christ. Now look at verse 12. But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. These people heard Christ proclaim his death, his burial, his resurrection, his commands, and his promises, and so on. They believed and were baptized and were saved from past sins, thus becoming Christians. They were likewise baptized for the remission of sins because God would not save the Samaritans on different terms from what he required of those 3,000 in Acts chapter 2. Staying in chapter 8, let's look at verse 13. And Simon himself believed also, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. Simon did what others did, and Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Remember Mark 16:16? Therefore, Simon was evidently saved also. The miracles that Philip performed served as his credentials that God was with him, and they confirmed the message that he preached. Philip could not confer this power on others, but the apostles could, as seen in verse 17 of Acts 8. Neither Simon nor Philip had a New Testament. It had not been written at this time. Now we, brethren, we have the written word to produce faith, John 20, verse 30 and 31. Miracles are not needed today. They've been done away with. We have the Bible, the Word of God. We're not finished yet. Staying in Acts chapter 8, let's look at the conversion of the Ethiopian. Let's start by reading in verse 35 and read down through verse 39. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord called away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. This simple lesson is too plain to misunderstand. Believe it and follow it. Did you confess what this man confessed? Were you baptized in water as this man was? Did you go down into the water when you were baptized? Baptism, brethren, is a burial in water and a resurrection to a new life. Baptism cannot be performed out of the water. If it could, Philip would not have gone down into the water with the eunuch. Sprinkling and pouring for baptism are human substitutes for a divine decree. There is neither command nor example for sprinkling for baptism in all the Bible. If you have not obeyed the Lord, then do so and you too can go on your way rejoicing as this man did. Now let's turn our Bibles over to chapter 10 of Acts. Acts chapter 10 and 11. Here we see Cornelius become a Christian. Cornelius. In Acts 10, verse 2 and 22, we find that Cornelius was a devout man. He feared God with all of his house. He gave much alms to the people, prayed to God always, and had a good report. Didn't this sound like a good man, a good Christian man, a saved man? Yet he was not a Christian. It takes more than just being morally good to be a Christian. It takes more than just being religious to be a Christian. In Acts 11 and verse 14, Cornelius was told to send for Simon Peter, who would tell him words whereby he and his house would be saved. He promptly obeyed. When Peter came, he preached Jesus to Cornelius and his household. And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, as seen in Acts 10, verse 48. Let's look at that. Acts 10 and verse 48. And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. He didn't suggest, he didn't hint, or he didn't ask. He commanded that they be baptized. For those who preach baptism is not essential, please some way or another, let me know how you can explain this. Please explain this to me. They obeyed, and thereby they became Christians. These were the first Gentiles to be converted to Christ. So in order to convince the Jews and assure the Gentiles that God would accept them into the church, thus granting them salvation on the same terms as the Jews, the Holy Spirit fell on them and all that heard the word. This is not to save him, mind you, but to serve as a witness from God that he would accept the Gentiles, in Acts 15 and verse 8. And Acts 11 and 8 tells us that all the apostles understood this. About 21 years later, Paul wrote that there is one baptism, Ephesians 4 and verse 5. About the same time, Peter also declared that baptism is now in water. You remember 1 Peter 3, 20 and 21. So the baptism that Christ commands is water baptism, immersion. As we continue our study, turn to the 16th chapter of Acts, if you would. Here we see Lydia obeys, and we'll be reading verses 14 and 15. Acts 16, verse 14 and 15. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple in the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which are spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized and her household, she besought us, saying, If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained me, constrained us. Lydia gave heed to the preaching of the gospel by Paul. She listened to it, she believed it, and she was baptized, thereby becoming a Christian and having all of her past sins forgiven. Look at Acts 17 and verse 30. Although they're not mentioned specifically, it's evident that Lydia had to repent and confess her faith also. Because in Acts 17:30, where Paul said, In the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. So today, and in Lydia's day, all men everywhere are to repent. We're not done yet. We're not done. Let's look at the conversion of the jailer in Acts 16, verses 30 through 34. Turn over, if you would. Acts 16, verse 30. And brought them out and said, Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. And they spoke unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in the house, in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his, straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them, and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. Some today, most today, want to say that all you have to do to be saved is believe. They need to read more about Acts chapter 16, more than verse 30. They need to put all this into context. They need to read on and see what happened to the jailer. He was baptized. The jailer asked, What must I do to be saved? Before they spake unto him the word of the Lord. He wanted to know, What must I do to be saved? Before they even talked to him. And you know what? The greatest question ever asked and answered in the history of mankind is, What must I do to be saved? Faith come by hearing, Romans 10:17. Hence, he was an unbeliever when he asked the question. He was told to believe, but he could not believe on Jesus until he heard about him. Verse 32 says, And he spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. The word of the Lord is that men must not only believe, but also repent, confess, and be baptized. And Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Remember Mark 16:16. The jailer wanted to be saved, so he washed the stripes of Paul and Silas and was baptized the same hour of the night. Jesus said he was not saved until he was baptized. The jailer was baptized in order to be saved. The same purpose, brethren, the same purpose which all have been baptized for their remission of sins in Acts 2:38. Notice too in verse 34, he did not rejoice until after he was baptized. As we continue our study of how to become a Christian, let's now turn to Acts 18. Acts 18. Verse 8. And Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house, and many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized. Paul preached the gospel in Corinth. He preached the death of Christ for our sins, his burial, his resurrection, as seen in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 4. Many heard, believed, and were baptized. They were thereby washed, sanctified, justified, and saved, according to 1 Corinthians 16, verse 11, and 15, verse 2. Still not finished. Not finished quite yet. Turn to Acts 19 now. Acts 19. Let's look at verses 1 through 5 as we look at the Ephesians. Now Paul found about 12 men in Ephesus who knew only John's baptism. John's baptism went out out of force on Pentecost on AD 33. At this time the baptism in the name of Christ began. John's baptism was no longer valid. Paul taught these men that John's baptism pointed forward to the coming of Christ and had served its mission. And if you turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Paul wrote to the church in Ephesus and reminded them that they were redeemed in Christ. Verse 7. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Now if you turn over to Galatians chapter 3 with me for just a moment, please. Galatians chapter 3. Paul also wrote to the Galatians that we get into Christ by faith and baptism. He says in verse 26 and 27, for we are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. How do we get into Christ? Verse 27, for as many of you as been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Very plain. Baptism is the only way to get into Christ, according to Apostle Paul, and I believe him. And you must be in Christ to be saved. I want to turn our attention now to the conversion of Paul in Acts 22, if you would. Acts 22. Paul was a violent persecutor of the church until Christ appeared unto him. He was convinced of his error. He confessed Christ and asked him what he must do. Look at verse 10 of Acts 22. Jesus told him to go into Damascus, and there shall be told thee of all things which are appointed for thee to do. Ananias, being sent by the Lord, went to Paul and commanded him in verse 16. And now why tarriest thou? arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. What did he tell him to do? He said, arise and do what? Be baptized and wash away thy sins for the remission of sins. What did Paul do? He arose and was baptized, Acts 9:18. His sins were not forgiven, brethren, not forgiven until he rose and was baptized. Do you want to be saved? Then you got to do as Paul and all these others did. I want to look at one more conversion, the conversions of the Romans. Paul wrote the book of Romans to the church at Rome. And then he refers how the Christians there were made free from sin. First, Romans 1 and verse 8. Romans 1 and verse 8. They believed. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken throughout the whole world. So they believed. And next, they repented. Turn over to chapter 6 and look at verse 11. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So they repented. Then they confessed. Look at Romans 10, verses 9 and 10. But if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Now look at Romans 6. We'll read verses 3 and 4. Romans 6, verse 3 and 4. Now remember now, they had believed, they had repented, and they had confessed. Now they were baptized into Christ and into his death. Romans 6 and verse 3. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Now if you would, just turn over and let's look at verses 17 and 18. And they were then made free from sin. See the sequence here, brethren? Believe, repent, confess, baptize. Plain as day. Plain as day. Now turn to Romans chapter 16. Now, brethren, they therefore became Christians. They became members of the church of Christ. To them Paul wrote in verse 16. Romans 16 and verse 16. The churches of Christ salute you. Now we need to make a few observations before we close our lesson. In all these Bible examples, not one inquiring sinner was told to pray. Not one is told to be born again, which is a figure of Jesus used before his death. After his death, both Jesus and the apostles told Peter plainly what to do to be saved. So my friends and brethren, God is no respecter of persons. Everyone had to do the same things to be saved. Although every requirement is not stated in every case, but plainly implied, yet listen to this. Baptism is named in every case that we studied. Baptism is named in every case we studied. Observe also that salvation or its equivalent is always after baptism. And rejoicing likewise is after baptism. Christ added all who obeyed to his church. And he built only one, Jesus said in Matthew 16:18, upon this rock I'll build my church. My church. Singular. My church. Only one. Not 2,000 or 20,000 or how many ever there are today. My church. The church of Christ. Another thing we need to notice in baptism is always the same hour. It's always the same despite the hour of the day or night. It is the final step in one's conversion to Christ. No one was saved by faith only, and no infants were baptized. Any responsible person can become a Christian by following these examples and doing what they did. After becoming a Christian, just be a Christian only, as they were in the New Testament. Again, as the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch, Acts 11:26. Brethren, popular denominational writers can write all they want to about how people can be saved in ways that do not include baptism or confession or repentance. But just because something is written in a book doesn't make it right unless it is written in the book, the Bible, the Word of God. I hope and pray that you'll consider this matter carefully, and if you've been baptized into a denomination, brethren, you have not been baptized at all. I urge you to forsake denominationalism, forsake your denominational baptism, and forsake your denominational name and come to Jesus, being baptized with the baptism that He commands so He might save you from your past sins and add you to His church. Do not join a religious denomination, but a local congregation of the Church of Christ. We follow the simple worship of the early church, breaking bread on the first day of the week, Acts 20:7. And using only vocal music in worship, Colossians 3:16. Other acts of worship, which includes prayer, preaching, and giving, as we read about in 1 Corinthians 16:2. So, dear sinner, if you're not a Christian, how can you refuse the Lord? Won't you take advantage of this time? Come forward and repent of your sins. Confess your faith in Jesus as the Son of God, because He most certainly is. And then be baptized for the remission of your sins. If you're an unfaithful Christian, you can take care of it this morning too. After you've repented to God, come forward and let us pray with you and pray for you. Then you must be faithful in worship and service until death. And heaven will be your final home. Won't you come forward now as we stand and as we sing?